You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio with me, Jackie Mitchell, when we spend an hour talking to interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. Later on in the programme, I'll be talking to Susie Warren-Smith, CBE, author, broadcaster, entrepreneur and speaker, and Ivana O'Brien will be talking to Christine Murray, online holistic therapist, healer and trainer. But to start with, here is Samantha Carr chatting to Elizabeth Pearson from Single Successful Stocks.
So today I have a very interesting guest on Just Women for you, Elizabeth Pearson of Simple Successful Stocks. She advises and runs online courses on how to get started with investments, which obviously is fascinating for me. Welcome to Just Women, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much, Sam. Welcome. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's really nice to see you. And I'm really, really looking forward to hearing all about this. But before you explain how and why you set up Simple Successful Stocks, what were you doing in business before?
So before I started this, I was working as an architect, unhappily working as an architect. That was my career. Yeah.
Wow, an architect. And so yes. So how come you left that? Because obviously architect sounds incredible, an amazing career.
Yes. I mean, it's people always think that as an architect, it's very creative and you earn loads of money and you fly around in helicopters all the time. But that's actually not what it's like. So it just didn't really suit me. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. And so when I was working in an office at the time, I did a very, really good, actually, self-development course. And one of the things I got out of that was I wanted to improve my relationship with my dad, because it's a very significant relationship, not because we weren't getting on. I just thought it could be better. And I mean, he taught himself to invest himself. And I thought, okay, there could be something in this, you know, partly for my financial future. It's also about learning something that he could teach me, like a sort of to improve our dad-daughter relationship. So I set about learning from him, and he was very good. I mean, he did what I do now with women is he told me sort of what to do, but sort of how to do it, not what to do, but how to go about it. So I started investing under his kind of guidance. And that's how I kind of began to do what I do today. So, yeah, it was really about love.
Oh, that's so sweet. It's really about love. And so was he a teacher, a good teacher for you?
He was a very good teacher. So he was a university academic. So he was used to kind of teaching and not in this particular subject. So he just, you know, he showed me the kind of simple, really the kind of principles of it and a kind of simple strategy and way to go about it. And that's how I started. I remember buying my first investment in my lunch hour at work. I was terrified, but I didn't die. And I just felt that way. I just felt that way because it was new and unfamiliar. And as I went on, what I found was really helpful, actually, that I was far too busy to worry about what my investments were doing. I was busy being an architect, having a life, doing the shopping, all that kind of stuff. And that sort of lack of like being taking it personally when things went up and down, that lack of like attachment to the results really helped me in being a good investor. I didn't spend a huge amount of time on it. I was like, do it in a few hours and go dancing, because I had, you know, I was too much on. I was busy. So
yeah. Wow, it's so interesting this. And so he, it's interesting as well that you just said that you in your lunch break made your first investment.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually hold your hand on that first one and say, right, Elizabeth, this is what we're going to do.
No.
He threw you in it a little bit.
Yeah, he gave me the outline, the sort of principles, and then I did it myself. So yeah. And what was great was that I had somebody that I trusted, that when I got stuck or didn't understand the kind of, you know, the jargon that's used, then I would ring him up and ask him. And so yeah, we would go to investor shows together. And I mean, they can be a bit dull, really. And I went to hang out with him. That was really the reason I went to these things. So yeah, it's been great. Oh. It's really worked on both levels. So
that is so sweet. I love that story. And so tell me, in your opinion, why, even in this day and age, why do a lot of us women lack confidence in investing ourselves? Why is that?
Well, I think the culture, the world of money and investing is not, it is very excluding for women. I mean, when we look around, I mean, I'm only doing it because I had someone that I trusted to do. And it was only later when I started kind of teaching other people that I realize as women, we are absent from the investing picture, like we're absent from a lot of things. So the culture is very male. We don't move in circles where money is talked about, especially in Britain. So there's that. So that's one thing. Then the way it's communicated is very excluding. So, you know, the language is used, the kind of imagery that's used. It's, I mean, it's, you just sort of Google investing. It's like, oh my God, it's completely bamboozling. The financial sector as a whole, most financial advisors, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm a financial educator, but the kind of people who work in that world tend to be male as well. And then all that kind of, you know, the culture, the communication means that women, it's not that we are not good investors. Actually, there's been research shown that we are better. We perform better. We have better returns. It's just the lack of, it's like knowledge and confidence. And there's something about, I don't know, because of the kind of the way things are set up, the men seem quite happy, more happy or less, you know, to just throw themselves in and have a punt. And I think the other thing is, as women in general, we've got less money. So we've got less money to have a punt and risk things. So all those things kind of stack up against, you know, against women and investing. So.
And do you think perhaps, I mean, obviously this is a generalization, but perhaps we take it personally if, you know, a stock doesn't work brilliantly or...
No, actually, women don't take it personally. That's so I've seen for my female clients that they, you know, we want to set it up and in a sort of few hours of time, just leave it alone and get on with their lives. So women, this is why women are better investors, is that when so there's this piece of research from the Warwick Business School in 2018, and they showed that actually where women are better is that we don't take things personally. We do it for the long term. We are more risk aware, whereas often the times when people do lose money, which can tend to be more men, is when those stock markets go down and there's this sort of panic. So no, actually that's not the case. We don't take, well, this is what my experience, sort of anecdotally, but no, that's not the case.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. And so what sort of woman invests with you?
Oh, everybody, really. I mean, I find that talking to women is a lot of women really want to understand money, get it working for them, not be a wage slave, create a sort of better financial future. It's just a struggle to know where to start and how to start. So, I mean, I don't know, like from 22-year-olds to, you know, I don't know, 72-year-olds, all kinds of women. And the thing about investing, there's loads of sort of people think that you've got to have a lot of money to start, which you don't. You can start with a very small amount, like £25, £50. It takes a long time. It doesn't need to do that. You've got to be from the city or have a financial background or be sort of in this club, which is also not true. What other people think? You've got to be good with numbers, also not true. You just need to understand a few personal, you know, principles. And then the other theory, which is quite normal, is that you're going to lose everything, you know, so there's which is quite a normal. So Warren Buffett, who's a very respected investor, he said, as an investor, you should be able to tolerate, you know, the value of what you invest coming down 50%. Now, that is quite a lot. And it is, like, psychologically, it is much more uncomfortable to see the value of what you invest in come down, or I invest in come down, than we feel happy when it goes up. And if you, I always say to people, don't invest any money you can't afford to lose. You know, don't put your survival at risk, and be prepared. Things will come down, and you won't like it. And the thing is to do nothing. If you go into that with that, you know that it's going to happen. And the clients I speak to, they were like, Elizabeth, I listened to what you said. I haven't invested money. I can't afford it. It has gone down, and I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, brilliant. This is great.
Yes, exactly. That in itself is such a brilliant answer, because I mean, at the time of this interview, for example, you know, there have been some high profile resignations from the government, and you've got to imagine that that has an effect on the stock market. So we couldn't have known that was going to happen.
No.
So you just have to.
Yeah, I think it's nobody knows what's going to happen. We just don't know. So that's the thing to so you know that you're not going to know what's going to happen. So just to stay, you know, stay calm and carry on investing.
Stay calm. And another question I know that someone put to me was, do you need to be very knowledgeable about the city? So, and companies, and do you need to read the Financial Times all that, you know, every
no, you don't. I rarely, I don't know, very, very rarely read the Financial Times. No, you don't. I mean, there's a way of investing where you can, the thing is to have a wide kind of range of investing. This is what I was saying, there's a few simple principles you can follow. And you don't need to spend, you can read the Financial Times all the time. You can, I don't know whether that helps. I mean, my dad spends a lot of time reading things, and but even he said when I spoke to him a couple of months that he might be making it too complicated. People make it too complicated. Really with investing, you need to be consistent and you need to be boring. And what people tend to do, because we're human beings, is they are completely random and whimsical, and that doesn't work. So simplicity first.
Simplicity first, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Now tell me about, you have on your website Simple Successful Stocks,
yes,
the Ladybug Book of Investing.
Yes. So
tell me about that.
Well, I don't know if any of you have come across those, you know, the ladybird, I had to use ladybug for copyright reasons, but Ladybird, the guide to a book of dating and Brexit, and you know, so this is my own personal take on this, the Ladybug Book of Investing. So it's just got 13 things you need to know before you 13 things to know before you start. It's a kind of light-hearted look at the world of investing with lots of funny pictures. So you can download that from my website. It's quite fun.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's to be recommended, definitely. And you also do now I upcoming investing taster classes online, but then you said they're called Girls Just Want to Have Green Funds.
Yes. And my thing is about making investing simple, sparkly and sustainable. So I think this, having this consciousness of where we're putting our money and aligning it with our values, is really important to kind of change the way the kind of, you know, capitalism is going. So anyway, it's a taster class. It's learning about what investing is, why you want to do it, when to do it, and then to do that in as a sustainable way as possible. So they're £35, very good value. I've got one on the Friday the 15th of July, one on Tuesday the 13th of September. So that's also on my website.
And how do you, are they online Zoom?
They're online. Yes, I forgot to say that. Yeah, they're online. I do teach people one-to-one, and we could do that in person and online, but these are online classes. So,
I see. Yes, lovely. And so they just get in touch with you and book their slot.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. So you can find
Also, you were saying you can do one-to-ones as well, can you?
Yeah, so the online, the taster classes are like just to kind of get you started, see how you feel about investing, dip your toe in and take the first step. And then generally how I work with women and some men, and generally some women as well, is like over a 3-month or a 12-month period. And then I can just really tailor what we do to where they are with the money in their lives, what they want to achieve. And just my thing is about just like taking women through it kind of step by step in the time that works for them alongside their lives, so they can get their money working for them. So and we have, you know, we have a lot of fun as well. It's not nearly as difficult as you think.
No, I'm sure, but I think it's having that helping hand, isn't it, to start you off, because it does, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but it does seem an area that perhaps if you're not, you know, you haven't had conversations with, you know, with either your father or a partner or friends or whatever it is, that it can seem a little bit mysterious, but you take that away, don't you?
Yeah. And if people want to kind of, we want to sort of sit alongside them while they open their account and put some money in and that kind of thing, then that's, you know, that's what we do. That's what I'm here for. So so it's good. It's all good stuff.
Oh, well, it's really, really interesting to hear. And I think it would be a very good idea to go on your taster class or to book you in for a one-to-one, because you're very knowledgeable and you're very personable. And so I think you get your message across very, very well.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, and if you do want to find me online, my website is simplesuccessfulstocks.co.uk. It's with 2 C's and 2 S's. Sometimes I forget how to spell it myself. So,
so yes, do at home, do get in touch with Elizabeth, and also you can download the Ladybug Book of Investing on her website as well. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time today. It's gone so quickly, as it always does.
Thank you. It's been a delight. Thank you.
Oh, well, they're really, really fun. And I think we should get, I think we should all go on your website, actually, and book you in, because we need to know more.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam, for having me.
Thanks for coming on Just Women.
After the break, I'll be talking to Susan Warren-Smith, CBE, author, broadcaster, entrepreneur and speaker.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is an urgent appeal from the Disasters Emergency Committee. Hundreds of thousands of people have fled their homes to escape conflict in Ukraine, leaving jobs, belongings and loved ones behind. They need shelter, food and water. You can help. To donate online, search DEC or text RADIO to 70150 to give £10. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open from 8am to 9pm, Monday to Saturday, and 10am to 4pm on Sundays to meet your immediate medical needs? Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9pm, only on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell. In the next part of the programme, I'm talking to Susie Warren-Smith, CBE, author, broadcaster, entrepreneur and speaker. Hello there, Susie, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And welcome to the Just Women Show. Well, you've certainly had an amazing career because you worked for over 30 years as a designer, illustrator and marketeer. And you then set up your own company with your best friend's daughter, Brady Last, on two laptops and a large stash of Yorkshire tea bags. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, it's got to be Yorkshire tea bags. That's the first thing.
Absolutely, yes.
I guess my children had left home and I think it's really difficult to set up a business when you've got a lot of responsibilities and you've got a mortgage and all sorts of other things. I was in my early 50s and I just thought that, if you're not going to do it now, when are you going to do it? And also in many respects, it's the least risky financial time of your life in many respects. So I felt that if I wanted to do it, then I should do it then. I didn't feel I'd come to the end of my life. I felt like I'd come to a next stage where it was about me for a change.
Right. Okay. And it was a tax company, I believe.
Yeah. You can't get much more boring than that. financial services. Yes.
Okay. And then 5 years later, it was sold to Ernst & Young, EY.
Indeed.
So that's fantastic. And it is now EY Breakthrough Incentives, and it helps small businesses to get the cash they're entitled to for innovative work. Are you still involved with it?
Nope.
You're not. OK, fine. Well, that brings us nicely to your new accolade, which is your new book, Swimming on My Own, The Business Case for Kindness and Equality. So this has been described as incredible, inspiring and compelling, a game changer, heartfelt and absolutely bloody fantastic. It will make you angry, laugh out loud and cry, sometimes on the same page, which is fantastic. So what was the thinking behind the book? What gave you the inspiration to write it?
So setting up my business from scratch on my own and then selling it to a multi-billion pound international company inside 5 years, I think is quite a reasonable achievement for somebody that's female in particular. And a lot of people are saying to me, we need more role models. We need more role models in business who are women and who have very successfully, you know, and obviously plainly demonstrated, you know, that it can be done and that it's been sold, you know, that sort of thing. I think there are a lot of great women business model, you know, who can be sort of role models in business, but they haven't always done something that tangible. And a lot of people saying to me, we need people like you to be more visible, which is not my natural default position, I have to say. I think telling the story of how you do that when actually you've got a load of other stuff going in your life seems to me important. There's a lot of stuff about how you have these sort of super women who are amazing, you know, raise 5 children and, you know, run a multi-million pound company. But you know, for me, it's not like that. It's not like it's really, really hard. And I think a lot of women think, well, I'm obviously not very good at this because it's so difficult and I don't know how to juggle this, you know, being in a relationship and making sure that works and making sure I've got time for my children and making sure I'm doing this at work. And it just feels so hard. And I wanted to explain that actually, do you know, we're all like that. No, success isn't easy. People might make it look easy, but it isn't. And it felt a bit weird sort of weaving in my personal life to my business life. But it felt to me like that hadn't really been done to explain that we all face those things. And I can't tell you, Jackie, the amount of emails I've had. I mean, it's been extraordinary.
I'm sure.
Saying, you know, you've just written the story of my life. And people saying that time and time and time again, you know, this book is actually, that's me. So I do think it's hit a chord. And I wanted it to be funny, you know, as well as sad. And I've made so many colossal mistakes, which is very much a part of the learning thing when you're in business. And I just wanted to bear it all, I suppose, and just try and inspire anybody, even if it was one person. I thought it would be worth it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I personally found it very moving and very inspirational. It was a real page turner as well. And it's also interesting because you've managed to weave a memoir into a business book, which gives invaluable advice. And you describe the prejudice you encountered in 1960s Britain so vividly. In the book, you said you felt weaker most of the time, at a disadvantage. What do you think was the most difficult aspect of life back then?
Well, I think it's the same as now. There is that sort of imposter syndrome where you just feel like everybody else seems to know more than you or have more experience than you. And, you know, that's because you're a nice person and you've been brought up properly and you're polite and, you know, you don't shout or bully or resort to, you know, horrible, nasty dealings because you refuse to do that as a good person. And that's never been any different to me. It's not got any better either. And I think what I was trying to explain is us people who are fairly quiet or don't like confrontation, you know, we can do it. And it isn't the only way. To be a bully and shout and bawl is not the only way to get on. And I think I wanted to prove that as well.
Yes. And you also write about your unhappy marriage. I mean, that must have been very difficult to write. Was it very difficult to write these painful memories to write them down?
Well, it wasn't an unhappy marriage at all, actually. It was happy 90% of the time. It was just really, really bad about 10% of the time, you know, extraordinarily bad. But it wasn't an unhappy marriage. And I think it's incredibly easy to write about it because my husband's dead. So,
you know, oh, right. Okay.
You haven't got to that bit in the book yet, have you, Jackie?
But no, yeah. Obviously not. Sorry. No.
So he died, you know, so the point is that I'm not going to upset him because he's not around. And that actually, it was incredibly sad, but actually it made it easier, you know, because I don't think I'd have done it if he was around, because I do think it's a balanced book and there's lots of things. Without him, I wouldn't have, you know, he did push me quite a lot of the time and said, no, you can do this, you can do this. And that was really helpful. You know, he just was a, you know, sort of violent alcoholic, but not a lot, but it was difficult. Yeah, but not all the time.
Right. Okay. And but it's also a business book packed full of useful advice. And you say marketing is everything. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I get asked to speak at a lot of things, and then people say, "Well, can you give me your script, or can you write this?" And I said, "Oh, well, I haven't actually written any of it down." So part of doing that was just to put at the back of the book, there's sort of like the 20 lessons that I think are really important about running a business, and the things that you've just got to get right. And then hopefully through it, I've explained some of the mistakes that I've made, which hopefully then other people can avoid them. But marketing is everything. And by marketing, I mean marketing and sales and business development. If people don't buy what you do, you won't survive. And so, of course, it's everything. And people have so much choice now, and it's very difficult to be heard. You know, it's social medias, you know, and all sorts of other channels are so fragmented. It's hard to get yourself heard. So, marketing in its widest sense is everything.
And another interesting thing is that you say you need to spend time looking and listening, and also need to know everything about your target end user or customer.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh when, you know, people say, I can't possibly meet you for the next 2 or 3 months. I'm so busy. And I just think, well, you're not really very good at business then. You know, if your diary is packed every single day, with no space in it, you're not really very good at what you do, in my personal opinion. You must build space into your calendar to have time to yourself to think and to look at what's going on. And you must be in the office or wherever, whatever environment you work in, to see and observe when you've got other people working for you, how it's all working. Otherwise, how are you making decisions? How are you making decisions? You're completely removed, and therefore will make a catastrophic mistake. So in your calendar, you know, always block out 3 or 4 hours a day where it says no appointments, and you tell everybody they're not allowed to put an appointment in your diary and those dates under any circumstances. It's fine. Somebody will get another date for you. You know, don't worry about it, and try and make sure you're around at least, you know, a day a week if you can, because otherwise you're not going to see how the business is doing. So managing your time, you know, it doesn't make you important if you've got a very full diary. It makes you not very good at time management. And I think, especially if you're a mum and you've got a family, you're very tired a lot of the time. So you need to build space into what you do. It's important that you have the energy.
And the book is also peppered with some great quotes, like Alexandra Petri: "Too often I've seen a woman standing politely listening to a loud man's bad ideas about the field she has spent her life in," which I thought was a particularly interesting one.
There's some great quotes, I think. And again, why say something if somebody else can say it better?
So getting back to your description of 1960s Britain and how difficult it was, do you think things have changed for women in the workplace?
No, I don't actually. I think things were much more outwardly misogynistic and racist without really understanding it. You know, it was just okay to do. Now it's not okay to do, but it doesn't mean to say it's not happening. And I think that the point of the book is that people discriminate a lot because they don't know how it makes somebody feel. And part of writing this is like, this is what it feels like when you ignore me, or when you know, I'm sitting around a boardroom table and because I'm a woman, you feel it's okay to cut across me all the time. I wanted to explain how it feels, because if you can, then somebody will understand and go, I didn't realize that's what it does. And I think if you can make people understand, they're less likely, to be biased or just not see the fact that what they're doing makes somebody uncomfortable. And that could be male as well as female, of course. So I think it's important to tell people how somebody else's behavior makes you feel, which is, again, part of the thing behind the book.
Absolutely. And I see the book is also available on audio. Presumably you've narrated it yourself.
Yeah, well, I wanted it to be free, but you can't sell stuff on Amazon for free, unfortunately, because they want to take a cut. So I think I make about 4.5p per book.
Oh, really?
The cheapest I could do it on Amazon. And on Kindle Unlimited, it's free. And on Spotify, it's free. So, for me, this isn't about making money. It's about trying to get the message across and trying to have a debate and just trying to help anybody who's in the same position. So please, I don't need any money. Just if you want to access it, please go to Spotify. It's free. Kindle Unlimited is free. I can't sell it for less than what Amazon will let you do as a minimum price. So
of course.
Sorry about that. But the point is to try and get as many people as possible to have that debate. And you know, if anybody's listening and they like books and actually they're really struggling financially, I'm sure it's okay to give an email out, and I'd be very happy to send you a book for free.
Okay. And so congratulations also on your CBE this year. So how did you feel about that?
Well, I thought, well, first of all, I thought I was being told off because I got to talk a lot. So basically you get a letter from the cabinet office. Oh, God, I've done something wrong. Anyway, when I opened it, I could not stop laughing. I just thought, oh, God, wow. But of course, when you get over that, you're not allowed to tell anybody until they announce it on their New Year's Day. It's a New Year's Day honours list. And it's just, it's an incredible honour. And it, what it does is it makes me feel like I really have to, you know, work harder to help others and justify it, I suppose. But yeah, I haven't been to Buckingham Palace yet to collect it.
Oh, right. When's that then? Do you know?
No, it should be soon. They're still catching up the COVID backlog, but it should be sometime in the coming months. So that should be a bit of a hoot as well.
Fantastic. How very exciting for you.
Wear a hat. I'll probably have to wear a hat. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And so we should also say that you also present the food talk show.
Yeah.
Which is great. So how on earth do you fit all these things in?
Well, I'm retired, Jackie. I sold my company just over 2 years ago, and then with most company buyouts, they will have something called an earnout, which they will expect you to work for 2 to 3 years afterwards in some type of capacity. So I did some consulting work for Ernst & Young across Europe and Africa and the Middle East and stuff, and that finished on the 31st of March. So I have no commitments now, which is fantastic. Other than the voluntary stuff I do and the radio show I do, because I've been doing that for 7 years, and it goes out every week. And basically we profile amazing food producers and people in the food sector, because I feel quite strongly about, you know, local food and good provenance and healthy eating. So, yeah, we were doing podcasts a long time before people even knew what a podcast was.
Yes.
So we got about 400 or 500 of them now, with some fascinating topics from, you know, snail farming to cider making. So it's fascinating for me. It's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have any other plans for the future?
Well, I have 4 grandchildren, so that takes up a bit of time, and I'm enjoying being outside much more. And I think I'm really, you know, enjoying, maybe I suppose my work probably takes up 1 or 2 days a week now, and the rest is being outside in the garden. I've just been for a lovely cycle ride this morning. I'm going to go for a swim this afternoon. It makes you feel so good to be outside.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Susie, for talking to us. Would you like to give us your website details if people want to get more information from you?
Yes. It's Susie WS. So that's SUSIEWS.com, which sort of tells the story of how I managed to build the business. There's a link to an email address there. And if anybody's interested in listening to the book, It's Swimming on My Own, please go on to Spotify, all free, Kindle Unlimited free, or on Amazon, or email me if you're struggling financially. I'll be happy to send you a copy.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much, Susie.
Thank you, Jackie. It's a pleasure.
That was Susie Warren-Smith, CBE, author, broadcaster, entrepreneur and speaker. After the break, Ivana O'Brien will be talking to Christine Murray, online holistic therapist, healer and trainer.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Sound familiar? With more people working at home and less time to worry about our posture, it's unsurprising that back and neck pain, migraines and sciatica are all on the rise. Luckily, there's somewhere that's got your back. West Chiropractic in West Byfleet prides itself on being a practice helping people from Surrey and beyond with enthusiasm, experience and expertise. With plenty of 5-star reviews, it's a place you truly can trust. Book a free discovery visit now to speak with one of their expert chiropractors and find out how to move forward with a program tailored to your situation. Visit them online at westchiropractic.co.uk.
Check out the Brooklyn's Radio website at brooklynsradio.co.uk. Listen to the live shows bringing you the sounds of Surrey, with news, travel, local events and happenings, plus everything from folk music to progressive rock to business interviews to Hollywood hits. Search our extensive library of podcasts or listen to entire shows through our Mixcloud accounts. You can see our schedules for the coming week and pick your favourite programmes and broadcasters. It's all at brooklynsradio.co.uk. On PC, Android and Apple devices, or tune in, or download our own free app. Love listening to Brooklyn's Radio. Loving Surrey.
Hello, my name's Sarah Chaplin, and every Thursday night I host a show called Jazz London Live at 10 o'clock until midnight, and each week I play a selection of jazz, funk, fusion and Latin. I feature an interview in the first hour of the show with somebody on the British jazz scene, a gig guide rounding up the gigs in the week to come, and in the second hour of the show there's Album of the Week, in which I play three tracks from a brand new album that's just come out, and also a long track in the second hour of the show to help you wind down to bedtime on a Thursday evening. It gets a bit more mellow towards the end of the show. So if you love jazz, you're going to love this show, Jazz London Live on Brooklyn's Radio. If you're not sure whether you like jazz, give it a try. You might find there's some tracks in there that you really love.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell. In the next part of the programme, Ivana O'Brien chats to Christine Murray, online holistic therapist.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. It's always nice for listeners to understand a bit about someone's career history. So tell us a bit about what you've done before.
OK, well, I started off as a mathematics teacher and up in the northeast of England. I did enjoy teaching, but felt it wasn't for me long term. So I ended up in the IT industry, started out as a programmer, and worked my way up to managing projects in corporate. And then after a number of years, I actually then became a contractor and contracted back to big companies. So that was my first sort of business, really, contracting back to big corporates running projects. Then I met my now husband when I was, you know, quite late on in my years, and decided that we really wanted a family, and we ended up immigrating to Canada when I was 7 months pregnant with my first child. So I was 43 and 45 when I had my boys, and they were both born in Canada. So we all have dual citizenship with Canadian and British passports, and we ended up coming back. Well, I did run a little business out there as well when my children were little, just party cones. And then they wouldn't accept my teaching qualifications in Canada, but that's even into province, they don't do that. So I became a teaching assistant there, and that fitted around my children when they were at school as well, because I did that on a substitute basis. We moved back to the UK to take care of a close relative, actually my mother-in-law, when my children were 9 and 7. So then I became sort of her carer for a while. And then after that, I was absolutely exhausted after she died and had sort of health diagnoses. And so did my son, severe celiac, my eldest. And we started going down the alternative route because we weren't, didn't seem to be getting anywhere with traditional medicine. And that's what basically led me into being a holistic therapist and practitioner, and now on to training. So that's a very brief summary of my employment history.
Yeah, so looking at your website, Chris, I know that you offer EFT and Reiki. So for the listeners that don't understand what emotional freedom technique is, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so basically, a very basic level, you tap on various parts of your body, and that relaxes, sends messages to your brain, just relaxes you and reduces pain, anxiety, stress, emotional upset as well, intense feelings, really. It has been referred to as acupuncture without the needles, because it's using those meridian points. If your listeners know what acupuncture is, not everybody does, but what you need to know is it just helps reduce all that stress, anxiety, as I say, those. Since I've trained in emotional freedom technique myself, I haven't used a painkiller. I tap for headaches or any pain I have in my body.
And people feel or believe that it's the memory of something that makes us feel bad, but it's not that, is it, Chris? It's the emotion that's attached to that memory. And once you can release that emotion, then it kind of, the energy flows, doesn't it?
So I also think the really great thing about EFT is that you don't, if you went through a bad experience that has caused you to have a limiting belief or brings up an emotion, things that trigger you, you don't relive that trauma. It's specifically about the emotion, whereas a lot of therapies actually want you to relive that, and you never do with EFT, because it's, as you say, Yvonne, it's all about the emotions, and it's releasing the energy around that. Then we'll, you know, and it's the thing I love about it is it's like a permanent solution. It's not just dealing with the symptoms and, oh, just do this to overcome your social anxiety or, you know, do this for that particular pain. It's something that I actually saw a demonstration on one training course where a lady, and I know she still doesn't have problems, had back problems for years, and she was the subject of a demo, and she hasn't had back pain since, because she released the emotions around that.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, actually. It really is.
Yeah.
And so, to make sure, obviously, we cover this, tell us about some of the services that you provide, Chris.
Okay, so as a therapist, I specialise in helping parents and carers where their children are exhibiting challenging behaviours, and that's usually brought on by stress or anxiety, from some external event in their lives. But obviously the parents are also stressed and anxious about their child. And I sort of think it's really important, because when my children were little, I didn't have these tools, but I think it's really important to get the tools out there for people to use on a personal level, so that they can help themselves and their family with their own self-care. It's not about locking people into therapy for years and years. It's actually to provide them with those tools. So I have a family-centered approach where I tend to work initially with the parents and give them the tools. But if we feel it's beneficial, then I will work with their children as well, which a lot of therapists won't do. They're not always happy to work with children.
So what could that meeting include? What might take place during that?
Okay, what, with the parent?
Yes, initially.
Well, it's just really everything that's going on for them, because it's a holistic look. So it's anything that could be stressing their child and what's stressing them, because often when you release the energies around what's stressing the parents, things do improve with the child. But then they also have those, you know, EFT and some other techniques such as breathing, mindfulness I use as well, which helps them to help the child, basically, because I always felt very helpless because I didn't have those, you know, those tools at my fingertips when my children were going through certain things. And it is about the whole family. It affects the whole family when the child's stressed out or anxious.
And obviously, as you mentioned as well, sometimes if you work with the child and not the parent, the child's then going back into that environment that is not a good for them.
The parent's still stressed about.
Exactly, yeah. So that you kind of, it's like a loop, isn't it? You never solve the problem. But if you work with the parents first, as you say, then you can work with the child afterwards.
So I know that's that, sort of, sorry, Chris. Sorry. As a therapist. So then as a healer, so you know, can help people. I can't do that for you. You know, it's about your wellness, your journey, but I can help you again to release energies around things and give you techniques to help you on your wellness journey. And just putting little things in place that can make a big difference, like a little morning routine. Everyone should have a sleep routine, not just children, you know, those sorts of things that a small change can make a huge difference. But it's really getting people back into balance.
That leads me nicely into your blog post, actually, Chris, because you mentioned on that tips for well-being, and one of the things that you do say is expressing gratitude. And I so agree with you that, because I think sometimes when things are really tough, we see all the negatives around us and we forget to sort of recognise that there's some good stuff going on as well.
And actually, I was just I don't know if you know, it's the Dalai Lama's 87th birthday today, the 6th of July, the 14th Dalai Lama. And one of the things he says is, you know, there's always a good aspect to any situation. So it's really a case of looking at what you can learn about yourself, or what you shouldn't have said yes to, or, you know, whatever that is, you know, your boundaries, whatever it might be, because that's how we learn. But it's no good just repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
It's about not just, it's hard when bad things happen or situations don't turn out how you would like. But there's always something positive to be gained from it, I feel.
Sure. And in addition to the gratitude as being one of the tips for well-being, tell us some of the others, Chris.
So about taking care of yourself, it's really important to take care of yourself, because so many women, particularly so many mothers and women, put themselves at the bottom of that list. They're caring for everybody else. But you actually really need to take time, even if it's 10 minutes a day, to have a quiet cup of tea, have a glass of water. But, you know, ideally find the things that work for you as well, because there's often, you know, people say, oh, you should meditate. Well, that really might not be for you. That mindfulness might be more for you, just being in the moment, or, you know, just looking at some old holiday photos that you sort of think, oh, it's lovely there. Your brain doesn't know the difference between what you're actually experiencing and what you're looking at. But it's just making that time for you. It doesn't have to be, you know, again, exercise is really good for your, you know, well-being. So exercise is, you know, it doesn't have to be going for a jog. It could be dancing around the kitchen to your favourite tunes. It's about finding the things that work for you and that make you feel good.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's loads, Chris, but tell us about a success story that resonates with you.
Okay, so going back to working with children and their families. So I was privileged to work with this family, I feel. So it's a lady I knew, and she was very sceptical to begin with, that I could help her family. And her son had been diagnosed with ADHD. His behaviour at school, he couldn't sit down, and, you know, the traditional school thing where you're supposed to sit down and do your lessons. I mean, I don't particularly think that's good for lots of children, but for him, it was just impossible. His dad was sleeping in with him every night because he just couldn't sleep. His sister was suffering because she wasn't getting the attention. Any of the people who cared for him, like his grandparents, were having a bit of a tough time because he was a real live wire. And so I worked with the mother particularly, and the father to some extent, but it's often the mother that's there a lot of the time and ends up doing a lot of those things. And I worked with the child, and from the very first time I went there, I did a little bit of work with the child and gave him a CD of a tapping, so an EFT type thing he could do. It was a tapping story, but he didn't have to do it, but it was a story. And I showed him how to massage his own feet with some sesame oil, which is great for sleeping, obviously, if you haven't got allergies to seeds of any sort. It's a natural way of getting to sleep, and he loved doing that. It was something he could do for himself, as well as his mum could do it some evenings as well. And he slept through from the first night that we started that. And as the months went on, it did take a while because nothing's a magic bullet and there were quite a few different issues. But eventually his parents and couldn't believe the difference in him, and his teachers thought that he was on strong medication, and in fact, you know, that wasn't the case. And even the special needs teacher at the school wanted me to write and just let them know what I'd done. And he actually, they only have one space to get extra help for an educational psychologist. He'd fallen so far behind, but he'd improved so much. They got that space with the educational psychologist and their help to help him catch up, because he was no longer disruptive to his classmates. His teachers, his grandparents found him a delight to look after rather than a bit of a trial. So it's just that whole ripple effect of helping one person.
Wouldn't it be great if in schools in this country they taught things like mindfulness, like tapping, just the things that don't, that aren't invasive, that kids can do and that younger kids would embrace? Because by the time they get to secondary school, it's more harder to sort of...
Yeah, and actually, it's like the organisation that I have trained under to do training, the EFT and Mindfulness Centre, we are trying to get that into schools at the moment. And it's, you know, it's a case of having the money, schools having the money or the resources or being able to release the teachers to do it. Yeah. But it's just such an amazing thing. I was actually involved in a project quite a long time ago now. I can't even think. It was way before lockdown. And a whole group of us went into a primary school and taught them for 2 days, tapping, a little bit about aromatherapy. They did yoga. They did mindfulness. They did some deep breathing, meditations, you know, designed for children. And it was really amazing that the head even considered that.
Yeah.
But she had like 2 wellness days. But it's I think it would be wonderful if, well, everybody actually, you know, that's why I think it's important. So when I train people, I do emphasize, like for Reiki 1 and Reiki and EFT 1, you know, they're for personal use. You don't have to go on to be a practitioner. You might carry on and do a second course if it, you know, sparks your interest or you want to get deeper into other things. But for everyday emotions, for helping your children, they're amazing modalities.
Amazing tools. Well, sadly, Chris, we've run out of time. It's gone really quickly. If you could offer the listeners one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would say make time for yourself and find something that you enjoy doing that is just for you. It's not going to the park with the kids. It's actually, you know, and try to do that for 10 minutes a day, but maybe try to schedule in something a bit bigger once a week or once a month.
Brilliant. And if listeners would like to find out more, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, which is Christine Michelle with one L Murray.com. Or I do have a Facebook page, Complementary Therapies with Christine Michelle Murray. And from there, I have actually separate groups as well. One to show you how to reduce your anxiety in lots of different ways, the Holistic Wellbeing Group of Sanctuary, and Discovering EFT and Discover Reiki. So if you want to find that anymore, you can find it there.
Thank you so much, Chris. That was Christine Murray from ChristineMichelleMurray.com with some really useful advice.
I'd like to thank all our guests today. Elizabeth Pearson from Single Successful Stocks, Susie Warren-Smith, CBE, author, broadcaster, entrepreneur and speaker, and Christine Murray, online holistic therapist, healer and trainer. And thank you to our producer, Graham Laycock. We're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives, so if you know of anyone you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them. You can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen, and you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Do follow us on Twitter @brooklandsradio. This show will be repeated at 8 o'clock in the evening on Thursday, and the next edition of Just Women will be next Tuesday at 1 o'clock, so do listen in. So it's goodbye from me, Jackie Mitchell.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.